Darp. Well, dude. Oh, you thought there was technical difficulties? No, you would be wrong. That was a trick that I played with my mouth. Sales, ladies and gentlemen, I sold you on the fact that you were having technical difficulties. No, this is City Church Together. My name is Trevor, and we are going off the rails, you can tell. This is all a test. I'm going to see who will hang with me. Who will be the last person listening when I go completely insane as I record these? No, I love being here with you guys virtually as I record on a Thursday. Actually, this is 1 week. Today is a Tuesday. Today is the same day that it is that you're listening to this, which is wonderful because we are in Hebrews 8 today. All right? Why isn't Hebrews hungry? Okay. Because Hebrews 8. All right. Hebrews 8. Let's read the whole chapter. Here we go. Now, the main point of what is being said is this. We have this kind of high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle that was set up by the Lord and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it was necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he wouldn't be a priest, since there are those offering the gifts prescribed by the law. These serve as a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was warned when he was about to complete the tabernacle, for God said, "Be careful that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." But Jesus has now obtained a superior ministry, and to that degree he is the mediator of a better covenant, which has been established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion for a second one. But finding fault with his people, he says, "See, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their ancestors on the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. I showed no concern for them, says the Lord, because they did not continue in my covenant. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And each person will not teach his fellow citizen, and each his brother or sister, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest of them, for I will forgive their wrongdoing, and I will never again remember their sins." Now, by saying a new covenant, he has declared that the first is obsolete, and what is obsolete and growing old is about to pass away. That is the word of the Lord from Hebrews chapter 8. First, highlights today as we do a here journal. We're going to do the whole idea of this chapter, but in particular, we're going to talk about verses 11 and 12. There will note that each person will not teach his fellow citizen to know the Lord, because they will know me from the least to the greatest of them, for I will forgive their wrongdoing and I will never again remember their sin. Okay, the theme of this chapter is that there are new things coming to the Hebrew people. There is a new priesthood, a heavenly priesthood, namely in Jesus Christ. The preceding chapter was all about Melchizedek. Don't even get me started. Oh, Melchizedek. But the previous chapter was about Melchizedek, who is a forerunner, precursor of Jesus. Okay. In other words, he tells us something about the kind of priest that Jesus would be. And then Jesus is this new priest who is a mediator of a new covenant. And that's why you shouldn't be a vegan if you're Christian. Because in Hebrews 8, Jesus is a mediator. So why is everybody out there trying to avoid beef and things? If in Hebrews 8, Jesus is called a mediator. All right. Just a second, everybody. All that last part was kind of a joke. Okay? It's kind of funny. This is all right, so settle down. I hope you have not sent this to your friends. Actually, send it to your friends. Because like they say, Like it says in the New Testament, anger is the best publicity. Oh, stop. That was a joke too. Now, let's get back to this text. So it all says that, so Jesus is this new high priest. He is this mediator of a new covenant. So we have, in contrast to the old covenant, we have a new high priest. So it's not high priest that now, Hebrews goes on to say, offer bulls and goats, right? That are cutting the throats of bulls and goats and letting the blood spill out over the altar. No, now we have a new high priest. We have a high priest, back to Hebrews 4, that sympathizes with us in our weakness. So he is human. And we have a new high priest who gives a once for all sacrifice for sin. Okay, so we have a new high priest so that we can come to God. He is a mediator between us and God. That is Jesus Christ. And then he goes on here to talk about a superior covenant. And it's very plain. He says, if the first covenant in verse 7, if the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion for a second one. In other words, but the first covenant the first covenant was not faultless. That was kind of funny. I went like, was. You know, it's like a weird, funny thing I did with my voice. All right, on accident, which makes it even more a God thing. Okay, so the first covenant had fault. Now, here's what that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean that God did something wrong. It's not like God made the first covenant, in the Old Testament. It was like, oh, this didn't work. Shoot, we had it all drawn up just right, and then it failed. Okay, you can see that in the next thing he says in verse 8. He says, but finding fault with his people. In other words, it wasn't God that messed up the covenant. It was people. It was God's people. And of course, reading through the Old Testament and where this text comes from, that's quoted next in Jeremiah, you know, God's people were sort of deported into out of Israel and into Babylon because of their wickedness, because they chose to go against God. All right. So he says, it's my people that let that covenant down. So if you'll allow me, permit me a little foolishness here. What the Lord does here is then say, basically, I need to make this foolproof. I need to make my covenant sinner proof. Like I need to come at you with a new covenant that's not going to where I can get inside your heart and change you from the inside out. And I'm going to do that. Look what he says in verse 12, for I will forgive their wrongdoing and never again remember their sins. In other words, the basis of this new covenant will start with forgiveness. So, gosh, I'm kind of simplifying this, and so I ask that you bear with me on it. But if you think about the old covenant as we're going to start with command, we're going to start with an assumption of faultlessness of, hey, people, come into this, and I'm going to give you the way to walk, and this is going to be great, okay? That's where the old covenant started. This new covenant is going to start with the assumption of sin. No, you do sin. You have sin. You will mess this up. And so this new covenant in verse 12 is going to be based on my forgiveness of you. This new covenant is based on me removing you so far from your sins. Your sins can't even find you with a GPS. GP, no. All right. That's what your sins are going to be doing. They're going to be driving into the lake because their GPS told them to. It's going to be like, take a right now, you know, right into the water. All right. So that's what God does. So this new covenant is on the basis of forgiveness instead of on the basis of the assumption that you'll do this the right way. And he says, so I'm not relying on the external anymore, like the old covenant. Now I'm going to rely on the internal. I'm going to plant a seed inside of you. Like I'm going to take my covenant. I'm going to write it on your heart. You're going to have a longing for me. It's going to come out of you and you will be forgiven. You will know forgiveness. And from that forgiveness will flow your desire to know me and be known by me. All right. And so, let's talk about why that's beautiful now and how we live. Well, why it's beautiful is because, of course, God should assume that we're going to sin because that is exactly what we've done. In fact, that is the story of Scripture, is man proving over and over and over to our God that we sin. You know, one of, you get this in the very early pages of scripture. You have Adam and Eve, and then you have this whole thing is messed up. And so then you have Noah, and then you have Noah like gets drunk and naked immediately. And so Genesis chapter 12, God says, all right, that's it. I got to take this guy, Abraham. I got to do a whole new thing with him. So this is sort of repeating itself again. No, not the old covenant, now a new covenant where I'm going to write it on their hearts. Their hearts of stone will become hearts of flesh. They will know me from the interior. They will not get to know me on a piece of paper, but I will make myself known to them. And primarily, I will make myself known to them through my forgiveness. They will know my character. They will know what I am about through the way that I have first forgiven them. You think of the verse in Romans, I want to say chapter 2. It is the kindness of God that leads to repentance. Okay, so now we're not starting with, ooh, look at these commands. I wonder if I'll obey them. We're starting with, look at all God has forgiven me, and now I want to obey his commands. So where you struggle to trust God, come back first. And where you struggle to know God, come back first to his forgiveness. By the way, this is not knowing God by his forgiveness. This is not something new about God's character. It's not that God was unforgiving in the old covenant and is now forgiving in the new. They simply did not see it or receive it in that way. Because you do have God, you know, in Exodus, you go back to Exodus chapter 33, when God the hospital gown passage, you know, show me yourself. When the Lord actually passes in front of Moses, he declares something, and that is, this is as my memory serves, okay? Remember, we'll do it live. We do this segment live, and so this is all, I don't have like a computer open in front of me with all the answers, right? But you'll recall in Exodus chapter 33, before Jacob got tuberculosis, if you heard that, he's over there. In Exodus chapter 33, when God reveals himself to Moses, yes, he passes in front, and yes, there's the, you know, the glowing and the shining and the such as and the like, but there is actually is a declaration that the Lord is good and steadfast in mercy. And so you have this idea of God being merciful and forgiving, even as he always has revealed his character. And here it's all bound up in the new covenant, what gets written on our hearts. And so when you are struggling to see God, when you are struggling with just a basic idea that God is with you and cares about you, go back to this base of his character. What we covered on Friday with that blessing from Numbers, yeah, God really does want to bless you. And what we covered here, a primary way that he blesses us is by him forgiving our sins, and even better, even our iniquities. Do you have any iniquities? God forgives those. I love saying the word iniquities. I do think there's a slight difference there. I just can't remember it on the spot. All right. So take that. Take that. How about that? You like apples? How about them apples? God is a God of forgiveness. And now let's respond to him by being silent and praying. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your forgiveness. Today, on this Tuesday, we're going to walk as forgiven people. We're going to walk as people in whom you wrote your law on our hearts, recipients of this new covenant with this high priest who sacrificed once for all so we don't pay for sin anymore. You have done that on our behalf. We give you thanks for that today, and we live as free people, forgiven and ready to forgive. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. City Church, go multiply the gospel.